that you let us know where you listen to Stardate. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our reporting already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our reporting already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our reporting already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our reporting already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our reporting already in...
Number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Ring damage.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
Push a key.
key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
Perhaps we could have another one of those.
Thank you.
Such beautiful piano playing. I almost hate to talk over it. Oops. Sorry, Philip. Always do something to embarrass him. Well, good evening, everyone. It's 10:09. And no, that's not the name of the program. That's the time. The name of the program is Brain Damage. And we'll be with you up until midnight, as we are every Saturday night at 10 to 12 on 90.1 FM. And tonight we'll be talking about high-tech. Yes, it's about time we had a high-tech program talking about new developments and how they affect you and how they might mystify you and things like that, you know. They're happening. It's happening all over the place, and we have to be ready for it. And I figured tonight, what better chance than to use these airwaves to educate people and to discuss common problems. Now, we'll be taking phone calls, assuming that we're advanced enough technically to dial the phone. A lot of us are having trouble with that these days, and we are going to be addressing that issue. Our phone number, though, in case you want to write it down, is 632-6901. Kind of spells out our frequency, 632-690.1. Kind of cute there. 516 is the area code in case you're far away someplace. And we will be taking a look at all this high-tech nonsense in just a couple of minutes. This was almost the week at Stony Brook that something really exciting and major happened. But, well, if you're familiar with the State University at Stony Brook, we have things planned quite often, and inevitably something goes wrong. We plan concerts, we plan speakers, we plan festivals, and something always happens at the last minute, and we're disappointed. And we all go home, and we just sort of watch TV or do something mundane. Yesterday, we were supposed to get a visit from presidential candidate Jesse Jackson, and I'll tell you, I'd never seen such a crowd of people at Stony Brook before. I mean, eager people waiting for something interesting to happen. I mean, this would be the first time in the 80s, probably. But, alas, the announcement came just as everyone was settling in that Jesse was sick and he would not be making it to Stony Brook today. Hopefully he'll come back sometime and then we'll have a chance at a little bit of excitement here. But, no, it was another cancellation yesterday for Stony Brook, and gosh, it makes me feel just bad to see the disappointment in the faces of people when it happens yet again. You know, you think that maybe this is the time that something is going to actually occur, that someone will come through. You know, we had Bob Marley was supposed to come here. He canceled. Major bands have signed up saying they were going to come to Stony Brook, and then the last minute they always cancel. We haven't had a concert here in 12 years. Not a single one. Everyone cancels. Well, maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration, but gosh, it sure seems like we get the short end of the stick. So if you're a famous person out there, or somebody who has musical talent or speaking abilities or anything, please have pity on us. Come to the State University of Stony Brook. Tell people you're coming. If you don't tell anyone you're coming, it doesn't matter if
you know, you're Buddha or somebody. No one's going to pay attention to you unless you're announced well in advance. Have to get the posters up, announcements in the student newspapers, that kind of thing. But please, do that. Come by. We need excitement around here. Gets awfully dull sometimes. Well, we're going to be looking at the news before we get into all the high-tech nonsense. And what's going on in the world today? The situation at Larnaca Airport in Cyprus remains basically unchanged, with hijackers continuing to hold a Kuwaiti jetliner and about 50 human beings. Earlier today, the hijackers killed one of their captives, but they released another. Cyprus television reports the hijackers have made several proposals calling for the release of some pro-Iranian extremists imprisoned in Kuwait in exchange for freeing some of the hostages. But, says the report, Cypriot authorities rejected the offers at the insistence of Kuwaiti officials. Troops in the capital city of Honduras are guarding bridges, government ministries, and key intersections. Light trucks and tanks are patrolling the streets one day after the country's president declared a state of emergency. Five people died, and the U.S. consulate burned in 2 days of anti-American rioting. The riots were sparked by the forced extradition of a Honduran drug suspect to the U.S. of A. Former President Richard Nixon says his biggest mistake in office... Are you ready? His biggest mistake in office was not bombing and mining North Vietnam sooner. That's right. In an interview taped for broadcast tomorrow on NBC, so you can watch this, and you know I'm not leading you astray here. He really said this, and he'll say it tomorrow on TV. Tomorrow on NBC, Nixon said he had taken... Had he taken those steps earlier, the U.S. could have ended the Vietnam War in 1969 and gone on to further wars earlier. Well, no, actually, that was a bit of a liberalization on my part, but he did say something to that effect. Rather than in 1973... Oh, I'm sorry. The Associated Press put a period in the wrong place. Let me read that again. Nixon said had he taken those steps earlier, the U.S. could have ended the Vietnam War in 1969 rather than in 1973. Yes. Nixon says he was stuck with a bombing halt inherited from the Johnson administration. That's right. Blame it on a dead guy. Guy can't defend himself. And he's a Democrat. Boy, that Nixon. Hey, don't call him the things they call him for nothing. White House Chief of Staff Howard Baker is sounding a different theme about Panama. Baker now says U.S. economic sanctions against Panama have hurt the people there more than they've hurt military leader Manuel Noriega. Yesterday, Baker said that punitive measures had left Noriega a beleaguered and de facto leader. Noriega has clung to power despite one coup attempt, in addition to increasing political, military, and economic pressure from the U.S. American businessmen are complaining that the new U.S. sanctions against Panama are too confusing. And a manager of a U.S. franchise in Panama suggests yesterday's presidential order could give Noriega an excuse to shut down U.S. companies in Panama. He says companies that don't pay taxes could have their right to operate taken away. One black student leader at Penn State University says students were manhandled by state troopers when police ended a 15-hour sit-in at the school this morning. Authorities say 91 protesters were charged with either trespassing or disorderly conduct. The sit-in began yesterday after student leaders and school administrators failed to agree on ground rules for a discussion of minority issues. The 60th Annual Academic Awards... We'll take... Is there something I can help you with?
No, thank you. I'm just looking for...
Going through all my papers here. Is this Inquisition?
Sorry.
You're not looking for anything in particular?
No, just...
Okay. Well, I hope you find whatever it is you're looking for. Let's try to get on with the news here. The 60th Annual Academy Awards will take place at the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles Monday night for the first time since 1948. Officials say because workers are still constructing the grandstand, no early bird fans have snagged the coveted seats that will give them the best view as the stars arrive. And Phyllis Carroll was just one of hundreds of Liberace fans that bid on thousands of items owned by the late pianist. Carol spent her 51st birthday at the Los Angeles auction and celebrated by playing a tune on each of the pianos on display. Proceeds will benefit the non-profit Liberace Foundation for the Performing and Creative Arts. And 18 minutes after 10 o'clock, and that is the news up to the moment. The weather? No, I don't have the weather. I don't see the weather around here anymore.
Do you know what the weather is going to be for tomorrow?
Well, it was very nice today, wasn't it? It was sunny and bright, and I remember what little I saw of it. It was good.
Yeah, but there's a woman on the phone who wants to know what the weather is.
There's nobody on the phone here, Pete. Look, all the lines are out.
Well, she's on the phone in the other room.
She can't be on the phone in the other room because you can't call that phone from anywhere.
No.
You must have called that person.
You got it.
Aha. Such trickery is what we'll be discussing later on in our high-tech section of the program, how you can figure out certain things like that.
So anyway, she's listening to me. She wants to know what the weather is.
She's listening to me and wants to know what the weather is. Well, I wish I could tell her. Unfortunately, the Associated Press has not sent over a weather forecast.
Hi, Susan.
And if I try to pick up the phone and dial the weather, do you know what I get? I get this. You know? That's what I get. We're not allowed to dial the weather anymore.
Because no, we've never
people
been
spend
allowed.
Too much money on the weather.
We have never been allowed to dial the
well,
weather.
Well, take a guess. Do you know what the weather's going to be?
It's beautiful out.
No.
Well, it's
tomorrow,
dark now.
Tomorrow.
The stars
are out.
I heard
it's going to be even better than today. Then again, I heard it was going to rain today.
How can we find out the weather if we don't have a weather forecast or we can't call the weather?
Call out of state.
Call somebody.
But they won't be able to tell us what's happening here.
Or you can call somebody who knows or who can have access to the weather service.
Well, actually, there is a way, and I will reveal that a little bit later on, but that doesn't solve our immediate problem.
There's
no weather here at all. It's incredible. Well, I can tell, you can tell the person it's 8 degrees outside, which sounds kind of chilly, but it translates
to
46.
To
46 in the family. She wants to what?
She wants to go to the museum tomorrow. She wants to know what kind of day it's
going
to be.
Which museum
is
she going
to? Is there any way?
You're going indoors.
Is there any way that you can go to the museum and find out what the weather's going to be
well,
like?
Now, what kind of museum? Is it an outdoor museum?
No.
Then what difference does it make?
It's New York City.
So you can take...
The weather's like.
Well, I think she wants to know what kind of clothes she has to wear so she can take that train ride.
You can take a train ride in the rain, you know. They do operate.
Right.
Oh, not as well, but they do
have
operate.
To get to the train...
But I think they're who are we talking about? They're changing the train schedule for the weekend because they're doing some sort of construction.
That's
between
right.
Montauk and... No, not Montauk.
No, they're widening the expressway in Queens.
Yeah, that's right. So
and they built a little temporary track, and there's only going to be one track going from Jamaica to the city, whatever
so
they call it, New York.
So that alters the train schedule?
Excuse me?
That alters the train
yes.
schedule?
Yes. Trains will be leaving a little bit earlier than usual from Jamaica and operating, taking longer to get from place to place.
And we'll hear more about this next week when we do our train special.
Yes, in fact, we shouldn't be talking about trains tonight because next week is our train show. We're going to have Mike Uhas coming all the way up here from Philadelphia, probably taking a train to get here, and Jim Wiener, who
you
does the classical
about
show.
Trains last week.
I was talking about trains. Was I talking about trains last week?
Briefly. I listened to you last week, briefly.
Well, Joe Evangelista was on.
She always listens to you.
Yes,
briefly.
I know.
That's all anyone can take is briefly.
I called you. I don't know if you know.
Well, anyway, this doesn't solve the immediate problem. What's the weather going to be for tomorrow?
We're ordering Chinese food.
Nice.
Yes, you.
Pretty
what do you
nice.
Want?
Oh.
We're ordering Chinese food. Is it from the same place we did it a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, what do you want? I don't have a menu, so.
No. What's the weather going to be for tomorrow?
Pete, you're awfully repetitive. You know, you keep asking the same question. How are you going to find out?
I don't know, but I'll be back. Decide what you want
to eat. Susan is a woman of conviction. She will not come back until she gets what she's looking for.
Can I have some of your soda?
Or gets what she deserves, either one of them. You came in here, I'm on the air, and you're asking me for my soda? You have the height of nerve, I guess, is the word for that.
Sorry.
Want a corn nut? These people came over to my house, and they brought me all these corn nuts. And corn nuts are really, like, very hard to chew. Extremely hard, you know, if you don't...
They're good for your digestive system, I think.
Are they? Well, let's see. There's
no, I doubt it.
Nutrition information here.
Probably not.
I'm getting... If I figure out what a serving is... I'm getting 4% of my daily allowance of protein, 2 of niacin, 2 of iron, 2 of vitamin E, only 2 of vitamin B6, but 8 of phosphorus, 8 of magnesium, and 2 of zinc. Do you get enough magnesium, Pete?
I don't know, but can you tell the weather from that, from the ingredients?
A hard rain is going to fall. But,
okay.
In any event, what else happened this week? Stamps!
Did
have to pay more
them?
For stamps this week? They're 25 cents now.
Well, they're probably going to do what they did last time, which is you send a 22-cent stamp, and then the person you send it to ends up having to pay the extra 3 cents.
Well,
to receive the
that money. May be true, but you know what really stinks is the fact that the post offices ran out of 3-cent stamps, and here you are.
How do you know that?
Because I was at a couple of them that did run out of 3-cent stamps.
Well, they
stamps.
Can give you 3 1-cent stamps then.
Why, they must have, I mean, you run out of 1-cent stamps a lot faster if you have to give away 3 of them for every 1 3-cent stamp, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably ran out of those too. Now, I'd like to know, how do they expect people to mail letters if they don't have the stamps?
Put extra money on it.
I mean, I used to tape coins onto envelopes when I was a kid because, you know, I couldn't just go out to the post office. And they'd take the letters then.
You know what I did once? I put 22 1-cent stamps on an envelope just to see if they would actually send it.
Yeah, people like you cause unrest.
Because I thought it would make it a little bit...
And that is probably because of that our rates have gone up.
Well, this was a long time ago.
Do you know how many times you have to stamp that? You know, you have to just keep pounding
right.
it with you. Because the machine can't handle that. You have to do that manually.
Well, they sent it anyway. They were very nice.
Well, I don't know. I don't know, Pete. That's awfully sneaky.
I'm sorry. If you're a postal person out there, and if you are the one who received that letter and had to stamp it, I'm really
Actually,
sorry about that.
First of all, someone is picking up the phone. They shouldn't be picking up the phone because that means our friends who are calling us have to pay for being on hold, and that's no
sorry,
good.
Sorry, it was me. I didn't
do
it.
Oh, Susan.
It's a little outdated, but it's
the weather. Here
it's also
we go.
For Rockland and Westchester counties.
And
oh, Long Island. How about that?
There we go.
This afternoon, I assume they mean this afternoon at 1:05.
Well, I told you it was a little outdated.
Okay.
Start with
well, in case you missed it, we had a mixture of sun and clouds. It was breezy. It was cool. And we had highs up to 60. Winds were north, 15 to 20 miles per hour with higher gusts. This gives me an idea. Why don't we read old weather forecasts to go back in time?
To see how accurate they were.
Yeah. Well, just sort of to make us reminiscent.
Well, that's pretty accurate.
Tonight. Claire, you can surprise me. You can get me whatever I want.
Okay,
I mean, whatever
I
you want.
I hold whatever noodles. What do you want?
Sorry.
Whoa.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. Tonight, the weather, clearings, windy, chilly, blizzards, hurricanes, deaths, destruction.
Sorry.
Low will be in the upper 30s. Upper 30s? I don't believe this. Upper 30s. Went from the 60s to the 30s in one day. Sunday, partly sunny. Breezy, high 55 to 60. And the outlook for Monday is sunny and milder.
All right, thanks.
No problem.
I'll leave you alone now.
We're racking in the phone calls. I guess the secret is not to give out the phone number. 632-6901.
All right.
Let's take a couple of calls, and then we'll get into the high-tech part of our program, which is going to be interesting.
Thanks, Eric.
What did I do? Oh, I read the weather, right. Okay. Good evening. You are on Brain Damage.
Good evening, Eric Corley. I have you on film.
You have me on film?
Yes.
How'd you do that?
Well, you know, just by taking a picture with a camera. You were standing there on the left side of the stage from the speaker's vantage point, or from the right side from the listener's vantage point, with your little microphone coming out of your pocket.
Oh, yesterday at Jesse Jackson.
That's right.
Ah, Jesse Jackson that never showed up.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. First of all, I should say my name's Fred Meyer.
Uh-huh.
And I was one of the speakers yesterday and one of the rally organizers. And I heard your comments about it. And I just thought I should emphasize that it is more than, you know, just a media event or a rock concert. Because this is definitely... We're in the middle of a historic crossroad right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have the same feeling, it being 1988, 20 years from 1968. Somehow things seem exciting again, and I think the Jackson campaign has certainly changed things a little bit. It's gotten us to sort of see that, hey, there's another possibility. This guy is making headway. He's surprising us. Usually it's so predictable, you know.
Well, I tell you, but about yesterday, you know, the fact that Jackson didn't arrive... there's more than just meets the eye on this whole thing as far as, you know, why he couldn't make it and everything. And I just want to say, though, that the Democratic Party on Long Island is going to change.
Uh-huh.
And it's due to Jesse Jackson.
In what way is it going to change?
It's going to become... something more than it has been in the past. And the Democratic Party, you know, as I'm sure you're aware of, is a herding puppy.
Uh-huh. Well, I've never heard it described that way, but yes, I guess it could be seen.
Well, given, you know, let's look at how many elections the Democrats have won in you know, past recent memory, you know. It's pretty bad, and there's a reason for it. Because for some reason, you know, the powers that be in the Democratic Party in New York State, as well as across the nation, just haven't been doing their job well enough. And I think that what's happening now is that we're going to see much more empowerment of younger people, definitely students, in the Democratic Party. And this is going to be the legacy of Jesse Jackson for the United States of America. That he's going to, instead of, you know, like a lot of the far left have done, and even the not so far left have done in this country, which is to totally cop out. You know, now that Jesse Jackson is there and people are realizing that we can actually get to a point that we actually want to reach, we can realize that we can change the Democratic Party. And that's what this is all about.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the coming months.
What do you think personally is going to happen, Eric?
What do I think is going to happen? Well, it really all hinges, I think, on New York, the primary a week from this coming Tuesday. If Jackson should take New York, I think it's really going to make people get confused, for one thing, as to who is going to eventually take this this nomination. I was rather impressed by the recent poll. I forget which newspaper it was. I believe it was The Times, that said that Jackson alone couldn't beat Bush, and neither could Dukakis, but together they could trounce him.
That's right, and it was a tiny little item in the back pages because, of course, the New York Times, you know, they don't want things to get out.
Uh-huh.
So I think that one thing that really ought to be said is that Atlanta is going to be in a very important event the beginning of the summer on June 7th.
Yeah, it certainly will be.
I strongly urge that anyone who can should go down there and make sure that the Democratic Party is, you know, fair to the people of this country.
Take a train. It's a really nice ride down to Atlanta. But one other thing, the event of this week was Paul Simon pulling out, and not pulling out so much as suspending his campaign. And I was told the reason he did that was, if he had dropped out, Jackson would have gotten his delegates, and Jackson would have been in the lead.
That's totally believable. That's
now,
completely believable.
That's really shocking, and I'm surprised more attention hasn't been focused on it.
I think we're going to see a lot more shocking things to come in the next weeks, and that's why it's important that people who really believe in what is possibly can happen this year should go down to Atlanta and make their voices heard. Even if you don't get to go into that nice little convention center, which, by the way, is right across the street from CNN headquarters.
Yeah, they really got it this year.
You bet. And that's why the more people that go down there and say, let's get it straight here, because they're going to have a number of ballots, and these ballots are going to be affected by what goes on outside those halls out there.
Uh-huh.
And this is our chance. This is our chance. And if we blow it now, then we got to wait 4 years, and in 4 years, Bush could put us away.
So it's June 7th in Atlanta, but do you know when the Republican convention is?
Oh, gosh. I don't have that on the tip of my tongue right now.
Do you know where it is?
No, I don't.
Okay, we'll try to find that out. If somebody knows that...
That's a block. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. A lot of people don't know these things. A lot of people don't even know who's running for president, but... hopefully we'll be educating. It'll be an educative experience, I guess, overall, this whole campaign.
You bet it will.
More people are at least talking, which is good. Okay, thanks very much for calling.
All right, thanks, Eric.
Bye-bye. 632-6901. Take a couple of more calls, and then we'll get on to the high tech. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Sandra Goldberger.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good.
What's up?
Two things. The first is that I think kids should vote. I mean, I'm 11 years old.
You think 11-year-olds should vote?
Yeah. No, I'm saying all kids. I mean, I know probably more than the adults do. I know about Gary Hart and Paul Simon never making it. Dukakis.
Well, now, who do you think your classmates would vote for in general?
Knowing my classmates.
Just think of your class in particular. Who do you think they would vote for more than anybody else?
Jackson.
Really?
Yeah.
That's incredible. You think young kids today like Jesse Jackson?
Yes. He's...
Of all races, not just, you know, black or white or Chinese.
Yeah, I know.
That's very interesting.
I like him, too. I like, if I would vote last time, I would definitely vote for Mondale.
Uh-huh.
But I hated Geraldine Ferraro.
Well, I thought Mondale was a bit of a wimp, and also he didn't have much personality. That's one thing you can't accuse Jackson of not having, even if you don't like him.
He was the pits. Uh-huh. I mean, with the Iran-Contra scandals, I know all of that to say. I read Time Magazine, I read everything.
Uh-huh.
I read the papers.
Well, that's good. I mean, I wish more people would read things. That's part of the problem of...
Well, adults don't.
A lot of adults don't, no. A lot of adults just watch game shows and PM Magazine and all that kind of junk. There was something in Newsday this last week about how kids today just don't know anything about history, and they're just not taught certain things. There was a multiple choice question on the front cover, and it said this person was a civil rights leader, and they had Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, Martin Luther King, or Neil Armstrong, or something to that effect. And I said a lot of people didn't get it right, so it makes you think, you know, what's going on here?
Hello?
Yeah.
Am I on? Because I didn't hear. Okay. But all these people, you got to think that they were once kids.
Uh-huh.
But they felt the exact same way I did.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting to hear. And I think it would be really neat if kids voted. It might change things. It might make adults a little bit more interested, too.
Yeah. Also, what happened? Are you going to, let us, order the Chinese food? You said you were going to...
Well, last time you folks ordered the Chinese food for me, it wasn't bad. It just, it was kind of scary because I realized I was putting my fate in people's hands and who might, you know, have it in for me in some way. So I'm letting Susan take care of it this week.
Okay.
I told her to just surprise me and bring whatever she wants to bring me.
Okay.
I trust
Radio
her.
Radio call in.
Excuse me?
Mr. Radio Colin, I want to have a debate with him.
we'll try to arrange that.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about that Jesse Jackson thing.
Go ahead.
I think that's a really serious problem at Stony Brook.
What is?
That people just don't show up. Like, I think it was last year, it was Lou Reed. And I want to know, what is it about Stony Brook that people just back out all the time?
Well, you know, I think it's our location. We're out here on the island, okay? Everyone else is in New York City, and they hate going out to the island.
Well,
it's inconvenient, and what's out here, you know? So Stony Brook has not made a name for itself, so it doesn't stand alone as being the thing that draws people out here. I mean, what is out here?
Well, I've got a picture of Jesse Jackson on page 2 of Newsday, and here he is at Wyandanch.
Yeah, well, he made it halfway out then. But
you want to go all the way out?
I don't know. A lot of people just they kind of have misgivings at the last moment about coming to Stony Brook. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's our reputation or what. It seems like a strange place.
Maybe we're too close to Brookhaven Labs or Shoreham, and people know something we don't know.
It could be Shoreham. That's for sure. I don't know. I really don't know. It seems like a curse almost that haunts this place.
Well, that other guy who was just on the phone, he said there's more to it than him just being sick, and I wish you had gone into that further as to why he didn't come.
Oh, no, I believe he said that it's more to it than a media event. We were sort of comparing it to a concert before, and this was not just a concert appearance. This was a major social type of an event, an historical event, and even without Jesse Jackson, it turned out to be an interesting thing, an interesting event. A lot of people stayed. I was impressed by the number of people that stayed to hear the other speakers. And interesting things, historical things were said.
Yeah, but, no, he did say something to the effect that there was more to it than... I know he said that, but he also said later on.
Well, maybe we could clarify that then.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you very much for calling, sir.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Oh, hi. I was listening to the show, and I just want to say I think Jesse Jackson would be very good in the White House as a president. I think Pat Robertson would, too. I'm an evangelist. I read the evangelist magazines.
Such as?
I am. such as The Evangelist, the issue that Jimmy Swaggart had put out for a while.
The Evangelist, yes.
And I go to church every Sunday with my kids, and I just want to say that, you know, I think it would be good if we, you know, put more emphasis on religion nowadays.
Uh-huh. Now, you sound like a native Long Islander.
Well, I'm from Texas, actually.
Ah.
I've been living up here for 5 years now.
I see.
Up in Brooklyn, and I just recently moved out here.
Uh-huh. Well, that's really something. You say you're an evangelist yourself.
Well, I'm not an evangelist. I'm trying to become a preacher.
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, we put too much emphasis on movie stars. And, you know, because, I mean, like, if you look at Ronald Reagan, I mean, he got into the governor. You know, he was the governor of California. And he was only known because he was a movie star. And I think that's wrong. You know, I mean, he had no political background before he started.
That's a very interesting point. People are accusing Jackson of not having any political background, and here you tell us that Ronald Reagan was just an actor. He didn't have any political background. What does that say?
Well, what I'm trying to say is that, I mean, first of all, you have a Christian here. You know, I mean, you know, Jesse Jackson and Pat Robertson, you know, they preach the Lord's name. I think we don't put enough emphasis on religion nowadays.
Uh-huh.
And I think that, you know, it should be brought to the schools.
Uh-huh.
You know, because, I mean, you know, there's a lot of evil in this world, and,
Well, don't you think a lot of the evil has religion behind it, such
well,
as...
Well, not really. Well, I mean, how would you say
well,
so?
Well, look in Iran, for instance.
Excuse me?
Iran is a religious state, and I don't think you could find a more evil place right now.
Well,
look at
no,
the
I'm
Crusades.
Not talking, you know, this is America. I mean, you know, first of all, you know, you got... Pat Robertson, you know, who is a fine human being. He's helped many people with his, you know, services, okay? Now, I'm not going to mention Jimmy Swaggart tonight because I know of all the stuff that happened, you know.
Well, we appreciate that.
And, you know, but Jesse Jackson, I think it's about time we have a Negro in the White House, and it would serve the country, you know, a lot of good. I think, you know, I want to sound prejudiced or anything, but I think it's about time, you know, we have... more races in the White House, you know?
Uh-huh, rather than an arms race.
Yes.
I see what
well, I'm saying is, you know, instead of Caucasian or, you know, I think, you know, I mean, America is built around, you know, if you look at the first settlers, you know, I mean, there were Indians. But, you know, first of all, we are not true Americans, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, well, there were people here before us, and we sort of... asked them to leave.
Hey,
that's certainly true.
I don't think that's right, but, you know, we can't change history now, so, you know, and plus, no one is a true American. You know, we all came from somewhere.
That's...
I think just to have, you know, Caucasians in the White House is, you know, against, you know, God's wishes.
Uh-huh.
And I protest, you know, that, you know, the publicity that Jesse Jackson has been getting. And I think it's only because everyone is shocked to see that, you know, he is actually running.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think that's right.
Okay.
And I think the man, you know, deserves more.
Well, he certainly deserves to be taken seriously.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for calling us and saying that.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate the time you gave me to let me express my views.
Okay. Well, we appreciate your calling.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
632-6901. And one thing you have to think, if Jesse Jackson becomes the vice presidential candidate and Dukakis is the presidential candidate and they win, not only will we have a black vice president, but we'll have a Jewish first lady because Dukakis' wife is Jewish. And we'll have a president that knows how to speak Spanish. That's really interesting. I mean, that's a hell of a change from what we have now. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
I wonder if it actually makes any difference, though, if we have a Jewish first lady.
Oh, I don't think it's going to make a difference, except for the fact that it's never happened before. And it's really, when you consider this country, why hasn't it happened before? It's got to be unnatural for something like that not to have happened already.
That's true, because considering this country being the melting pot of the world where people do seek refuge to come to the shores of the United States, and we've always had irregular, you know, I'm white myself, so I could say just whiteys running the country, where I think if we had all a whole bunch of different races in the government, in the White House, you know, more specifically, I think we'd have more, what's the word? Help me out on this.
Diversity?
Diversity and respect from the other countries.
Well, people seem, other leaders seem to see something in Jackson. Noriega approached Jackson to try to help solve the problems they're having down there. Jackson has been involved in Syria and in Cuba before. People do seem to go to him, and they seem to have faith in him.
It's like people from other countries taking him very seriously. Now let's see if people in this country are going to.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I just had a comment about the 11-year-old that I would think that probably more adults in the greater Long Island area would vote for Mickey Mouse before that young gentleman would.
Uh-huh. That's probably true.
Frightening. It's very frightening.
Well, you know, it'd be an interesting idea to have a children's election where all the schools sort of sponsored it. You know, we wouldn't have to worry. It wouldn't count or anything like that. But let's just see who the kids are voting for.
Well, maybe we should. Well, I don't know if we should make it count, but...
No, we won't make it count, but it would be a good exercise for the kids so that they understand what voting is and how it works.
It would
be interesting for us, too, and I'm sure the people at Cable News Network would get a kick out of it.
Yeah, I would imagine that a lot of schools are probably, staging their own elections to teach kids, you know, that they want to make it as part of their normal life stuff, so that when they get, you know, when they get to voting age, that they will naturally vote. Whereas, like, say, someone like me, I graduated in 1980, and voting was never anything that was stressed upon me in my curriculum.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, thanks very much for calling.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Hey, before you go on, we did do that thank you. We did do that. We did that in 1980. We voted. They took us down, and they put us in the booths, exactly like adults do. And we voted. And we
what
all
happened
voted,
to the results?
We all voted for Reagan.
We did?
Yeah, we did.
Well, this was one school, I assume. I'm saying have a big nationwide program.
You know how much money that would cost? I mean, yes, it would be a great idea.
You just have kids fill out little pieces of paper and collect them. It's like taking a test.
Someone's got to collate it.
Have a computer do it. I don't know. There's got to be some way of doing
it.
I'd like to know.
You should do that. Why don't you start a project like that?
I'll think about it.
In fact, why don't you, that wouldn't be a bad project for a grad student.
You create another 2 days in the week, and I'll think about it.
Okay. I'll work on it.
Yeah. You do what you're good at, I'll do what I'm good at.
Yeah, I'm good at putting two more days in a week.
Okay. The office line is ringing. Maybe you should get that one. Yes. I will get this one here, and then we'll try to move on to our high-tech subject. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yes, hello. My name is Harry Rubenstein. I just wanted to say that kid, that 11-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we're, responsible enough. I'm 13.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think we're really responsible enough to really vote.
Well, in what way aren't you responsible?
I'm saying most of the kids my age in my school.
Uh-huh.
They don't know all about who the Kennedys are.
Well, let me tell you something that may surprise you. When you grow up and when you meet all these adult people, you realize that a lot of them don't know what's going on either. They can't place cities on a map. They don't know the leaders of other countries. They don't know the leaders of this country. They don't know how the Congress works. And there is something really, really wrong with a system like that where people are just not encouraged to learn as much as they can. So, yes, kids in general have less experience, but I've met a lot of kids that know more than most adults I know.
Yeah, but still, I don't think, me myself, I don't think I'm responsible enough to vote yet.
Uh-huh.
In my school, we had, a little vote. My teacher, my social studies teacher, he had a vote with all his classes.
Uh-huh.
And, I think it was, more of a popularity contest for the president than it was for, what they really did.
Yeah, well, in a way, that's what it is here, too, and the way it's done is kind of unfair as well. I mean, we haven't even had a chance to vote yet in this state, yet a lot has been decided already. Paul Simon is out. All these people are out. All these people have dropped out of the race, and it's really down to two people in the Democratic race and down to one person in the Republican race. What kind of election is that? This is a big country. We should. The way I'd like to have it is just give us a name, a list of names, and we all just vote and see who wins. You know, I think that would be more fair than all these primaries and caucuses and things and conventions. I mean, yeah, you get a more unified front that way, but still, it's not a popular election.
Yes, and you were talking about earlier in the program that where the convention is, the Republican convention is being placed. It's going to be in Atlanta, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What, the Republican convention is going to be in Atlanta?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I know the Democratic convention is.
And the Republicans in New Orleans.
Ah, wow, that's convenient. That's right next to Atlanta. Wow. Do you know when?
Either July or August. I'm not too sure, though.
Uh-huh. Well, we got the Olympics this year, too, so we have to be careful we don't...
Charlie.
Oh, our program director.
Our air-shy program director.
Our air-shy, but marvelously personable program director.
And actually, he had a lot of interesting things to say in the span of 3 minutes. Now, he told me that in Boston, every year they do this, elementary school election bit that you were talking about.
Uh-huh.
Actually, he didn't say it was elementary school, but he said it was school. And he said that they found out that every year the kids vote the way their parents do, and the percentages end up being the same thing. But it makes sense.
It does make sense, because what do kids hear when they're at home?
Yeah, it's
and if somebody's going to come up to a kid and say, hey, your daddy's stupid, he's wrong, of course they're going to defend him.
Right. Well,
because,
I don't know if they would exactly come and say your daddy's stupid. There might be a better way of putting it.
What I'm saying is, in effect, that's what they're saying.
That's true, especially if
they urge
kids.
You to do something different. Now, kids at that age, at a particular age, are not rebelling yet. And
that's true.
When you reach a certain age, like 13 or 14 or something, it'll be just the opposite effect. And the kids will try to vote to negate the parents' vote. Yes.
Generalizing. But yeah.
Oh, I am generalizing. But isn't all this generalizing? Isn't that what
it's
all about?
That's true. That is so true. That's the whole election process is generalizing.
Yeah.
He said something else that is totally irrelevant, but I think...
Oh,
well,
he usually
mention.
Does that. But what did he say?
He said it would make you a little happy. He said your favorite band, Negative Land?
Negative Land, yes.
Negative Land is on tour via telephone.
Are you serious?
I knew this would amuse you. They're on tour via telephone, and they're going to be here via telephone Tuesday night at midnight. We're going to call them up, and they're going to play live on the telephone.
Where are they really?
I didn't ask him.
That's incredible.
I should have known you would ask that.
Negative Land, huh?
Yeah, but right here on USP, Negative Land Live.
Well, that's,
Tuesday at midnight.
That's really good.
Yeah,
that's really good.
He said it's part of their Teletour.
Teletour. Well, we'll certainly be bringing more information on that. I can tell you that much. That's great.
Yeah, that is cool.
Well, it's time for us to shift our focus a little bit here, because it never fails. You know, I come in here with a topic, and everyone wants to talk about everything else. And I don't have a topic, and no one wants to call or anything, and I'm just sort of left sitting here. Remember that week I sat here just staring at the mic for like an hour and a half? And
yeah, that was...
Finally, the brothers came in and said, okay, Eric, that's enough. Go home. And I went home, and they did their show. But, you know, this week we're getting a lot of calls.
That's good.
Hope the phones can take it.
You know what I would love for you to do?
What's that?
Why don't you promote the program, guys?
Promote the program, guy. Well, I was going to do that in kind of a subtle way later, but I guess I could be blatant about it now.
Okay, so much for subtlety on my behalf.
The USB program guide update is out.
It is out. It's right here.
Nice, convenient one-piece program guide that tells you everything you need to know about us.
That's exactly what it is, a program guide.
Yes, and it tells you when we're all on. Let's see if they got us correct here. Brain damage with Eric Corley. Yes, that's correct. I'm in yellow for some reason. Yellow means other. That means I am not sports, I am not public affairs, I am not ethnic, I am not classical, I am not special music, and I am not music.
There you are. That tells you what you are.
Yes, a telephone talk show that just might adversely affect you. Eric Corley and his guests talk about whatever is on their minds. If you don't know why we call it brain damage, there's probably something wrong with you. Oh, boy. So if you want a USB program guide, what do they do? They call. Well, I don't want to give out that number yet because I'm going to do something with that number.
What number? There's no number.
Oh, I thought we were giving out that phone number, that special phone number.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that number.
We're not going to give that out.
Well, the best way to get it, did I just, like, blow all the volume? The best way to get it is to send a self-addressed stamped envelope.
Now, it involves a little bit of writing, but not much. Just simply write out something to us, an appropriate greeting, like honored sirs and all that kind of thing, and put your name and address on some part of the piece of paper that you send us so that we'll find it, and we will in turn look at that and write it down someplace else.
You got
stick
that
it
so
on
wrong.
An envelope. And
you got that so wrong.
Well, basically,
self-addressed stamped envelope. What does that mean?
self-addressed stamp that...
That means they put their names on the envelope.
Oh, that's how it works? What if they send us a request?
Well, they can send us a request. It just takes a little longer to get...
Because if someone just sends us an envelope, are we going to understand what it's for? We might not.
I'll send them something. I'll throw in a bumper sticker.
Because we might keep the envelope and use it for something else.
To send them?
We need things like that. Envelopes.
And a 25-cent stamp, too.
Now, make sure you have a 25-cent stamp, which I believe are e-stamps now, which you cannot use to mail internationally. That's another thing that the post office has not really gone to great lengths to tell you about.
I didn't know you could before.
Well, 22-cent stamps, yeah, you add them up and you put however much you need to mail on the letter internationally, but for some reason, 25-cent stamps, you can't.
How much is a postcard?
Postcards are now 15 cents, I think. Either 15 or 16, I'm not sure.
I guess 16
doesn't hurt. Not the postal hotline, I don't know. But one thing that I do know is that it used to cost 22 cents to mail a letter to Canada. That was right before this last increase. And very, very sneakily, they raised that to 30 cents.
You mean...
So now it costs more to mail a letter to Canada...
Than does to California. And
right.
Canada...
It used to be the same. And not only have they increased it to 25 cents, they've increased it to 30 cents.
That's not reasonable.
Boy.
I really think
it's unfair for them to expect us to mail letters, and they don't have the new stamps, you know? I mean, what are we supposed to do about that?
Well, I wonder. What happens if you were sending something to Alaska?
Take to the streets, people. That's what you got to do.
In front of the post office. No, I won't say that. Anyhow, you want to give away the address or give out the address?
Oh, we didn't do that. That's right. It's WUSB, State University of New York at Stony Brook.
Which you can quickly write as SUNY Stony Brook.
Or SUSB, some people do.
Oh, that's right. That's
SUNY or SUSB.
SUSB or SUNY Stony Brook.
I wonder if they could write SWUSB and shorten it even more. Well, never mind.
It's getting confusing here.
Yeah.
Stony Brook, New York.
11794. Stony Brook is two words, and there's no E in Stony. Please get that right, or it won't go to the right one.
And actually, some people write it with an E, Brook.
That's completely silly, and we don't care for that at all.
Were you on the air about 8 years ago? You must have been on the air 8 years ago.
What are you trying to do, make me feel old?
I don't know.
The first
time I ever listened to this station, I was like about this tall. That's the first thing I heard someone say, Stony Brook. No E in Stony and no E in Brook as in Brook Shields. That's the first thing I heard on the station. And now I will let you go on with your show, and I will go back to my job.
I appreciate that. And let me know when the Chinese food gets here.
Sure.
Thank you. Well, we are now going to take a look at a very interesting bit of our lives, and that is this. Do you know what that is? Do you know how to use it? And do you know what it's for? A lot of things have happened in the last few years. A lot of scary things. A lot of nice things. Things that affect the instrument that comes into your house. What we'll be doing is looking at some of those changes and explaining what they mean, and also telling you what the future will hold. Stay tuned. I'll get that.
Thank you. has been disconnected.
Yes, there have been a lot of changes in the last few years. 1984, the beginning of January, 1984 was the great breakup of the Bell system. Oh, it used to be so easy. It used to all be one company. It used to be the long-distance company, the local phone company, the people that gave you your instrument were all the same, and now suddenly it's all different. Well, I'd like to start this whole thing off with a commentary that was in the Wall Street Journal on Thursday, January 3rd, 1985, called A Broken Bell, Tolls for a Lost Freedom by Alexander Coburn. I said it before, and now, a year later, this is 1 year after divestiture, I'll say it again. If a symbolic hour must be fixed for the moment of America's decline, it was the breakup of the Bell telephone system. It was the glory of the world, a single communication network offering efficient phone service to all, progressive in its rate structure and in its syzygy. My goodness, I haven't seen that word in a while. Syzygy, I don't even know what that means. A private ownership direction under public supervision, a splendid example of the mixed economy in action. New arrivals to these shores called it the fifth freedom, the freedom to make phone calls with minimal technical fuss. And now, just over a year since the breakup took place, what do we have? We have the freedom to buy badly made telephones that we can't get repaired, the freedom to receive 30-page telephone bills that have to be sent over to the National Security Agency for decryption, the freedom to hear the operator say wearily, "Thank you for using AT&T. If these are freedoms, give me slavery." Oh, I know. There are going to be big breakthroughs conjured up by the magic of the marketplace. AT&T, liberated from the shackles of regulation into tomorrow world, would innovate, place America on the cutting edge, wrench the baton of progress from the Japanese. This is what Harold H. Green said would happen. Who is this Harold H. Green? He's Federal Judge Harold H. Green, the man who brokered the breakup. The way he has worked things out, he now runs the phone system all by himself. So naturally, reporters call him up to ask why the phone system's no good anymore. And in reply, he said recently, "The most important part of this breakup is innovation. The fact that competition will drive the competitors to create new products." We know what new products means here. A phone looking like Donald Duck, rival to Bell's phone looking like Mickey Mouse. Judge Green went on, "I have no doubt that this will bring about benefits to the economy. Information will be, to this period, what steel and coal were 50 years ago." Of course, Judge Green says he has no doubt. If he says anything else, he'd be admitting he made a gigantic mistake. Judges hate to say they are wrong about anything. They think it brings the entire legal system into disrepute. Who does Judge Green think he is, pontificating about information? Maybe he has ambitions. Maybe he wants to replace Paul Volcker at the Fed or appear on the Phil Donahue show. I think he should stop blathering about information and go back to being a judge. And if not, the Justice Department should bring an antitrust suit against him for trying to run the phone company single-handedly. At least AT&T had a board of directors. So the theory of Judge Green and the magic of the marketplace crowd was that AT&T, freed from regulation, would bounce off the springboard into the 21st century. The practice has been that a once proud company is now desperately shoveling technological junk, a computer, an answering machine, onto the market and is still battling with the problems of deregulation. Of course it's battling. If you saw the tail off a kangaroo and told it to be a greyhound... Our record's skipping. Oh, my goodness. Skipping in a good place, though. If you saw the tail off a kangaroo and told it to be a greyhound, the wretched creature would have a lot of problems, too. So nobody could say the breakup has done much good to the parent company. But what is talked about is the unexpected success of the regional spin-off companies, what we might call the hellspawn of Judge Green. These vibrant offspring apparently are going from strength to strength. Dollars pouring in, smiling faces at the annual meeting. But wait a minute. Surely these regional companies were supposed to be in the age-old business of providing basic phone service to the American people, by which I do not mean companies that want to talk to their subsidiaries on Mars, but people who want to call their grandmothers or the local pharmacy. Given this function of the new regional phone companies, how do the people feel about Judge Green's handiwork? Every poll I've seen suggests they feel very bad, with an intensity that tells me that if the judge is thinking about entering politics, and thus placing himself in the marketplace of abuse, he should reconsider. That's pretty much the tone of that editorial, which appeared in the Wall Street Journal 1 year after the breakup of the phone system. And now here we are, more than 4 years after it was all taken apart, for our own good, supposedly. And a lot of people have the same misconceptions, misgivings. Misconceptions is the wrong word there. A lot
Eric?
Of the conceptions are right. Yes, Pete.
Rob wants to know if you want to do his jazz on the air tomorrow.
No, that won't be good for me. Thanks
okay.
Anyway.
Okay. We'll find out if anybody wants to do it.
Get out of here, Pete. We'll be giving out Pete Kang's home phone number later. Now, we have a book here, a great new book that just came out called Long Distance for Less, written by this guy named Dr. Robert Self. And it's a thick book. I mean, this book is it's more than 91 pages. I guess they don't number the pages like they're real pages. I don't know quite how they number things here. They number each chapter, so I don't know how many pages it is, but it's really thick. I mean, if I picked it up and dropped it, it would sound like that. So it's a thick book, all right. Well, 1983 and 1984 were the good old days of long distance. Roving bands of long distance sales nomads claimed savings up to 50% over AT&T. Some ads claimed 100% savings. We may be gullible, but there's no need to imply we're stupid, too. Back then, some businesses did save 20%, sometimes even 30% on many calls, over whatever AT&T service they were using, just by changing to a comparable service from a new company. Three changes are very obvious in long distance today. The new companies can still save you up to 10 to 15% over AT&T on basic long distance, sometimes a little more, often less. Many now say we're less than AT&T on every call, every minute, period. Sometimes they're even wrong about that. New companies now openly push things other than price, things like features and sound quality. Despite all the mergers of long-distance companies, the actual number of long-distance products we have to choose from has jumped staggeringly. In some ways, competition is keener than ever. It's just not always price competition. So what they suggest here is if you have more than $150 a month in long-distance, it does matter who you choose for long-distance. Perhaps more important than which company, though, is which of its services you go with. Even AT&T now markets with a vengeance, competing against itself as well as the new guys, with new products that underprice, outfeature, and cannibalize its traditional products. There's another side to it. We customers have gotten smarter, and we do care about quality, service, features, how accurately they bill and time our calls, and lots of other things. Or at least we should care. Yes. There is no overall best long-distance company. If there were, this guy said he'd write a one-page book. What company, or more accurately, what combination of companies and services you should buy depends entirely on your own calling patterns. Recently, interstate long-distance prices have been changing every 6 months or so. Perhaps more important, long-distance companies keep dreaming up new products. Well, says Dr. Robert Self, I'm optimistic. He says, I'm presume, which doesn't make any sense. I guess he means to say, I presume you actually want to understand what's going on in long distance, either so you can figure out which services are best for you or so you can hire and make good use of a consultant. This book gives you simple analytical tools you need to understand and evaluate recent changes in long distance and changes you're going to see in the near future. What the hell are you doing here? A guitar? My goodness. People sneak up on me with guitars now. This book should help you analyze your own long-distance needs, find the right services for your company, establish an ongoing cost control program, reevaluate quickly and easily when necessary. I will not give you a little card that says buy XYZ long distance. If I did, I'd be cheating you. You must learn how to figure it out for yourself, quickly, easily, and accurately. It's not as difficult as you might think, unless, of course, your General Motors. Now, this book goes on and on and on. Pages and pages of how to figure out which long-distance company to choose. They tell you about the different types. They tell you about regular long-distance, watch calls, the access to these different long-distance services. And what I thought would be interesting tonight is if we kind of open up the phone lines to people that have questions about this kind of thing and have problems and would like to know what to do. That's kind of what I'm interested in here. So if people want to give us a call, 632-6901, and we will discuss aspects of this new technology, where it's leading, where it's gone, how it's messing things up, and how confused we really are. A basic thing that that might be interesting to some of you is your phone number. There's a chapter in this book called Where Does Your Phone Number Come From? Well, phone numbers are composed of area codes, exchange codes, and station numbers. All of North America, including the U.S., Canada, part of Mexico, and some offshore islands, use the North American numbering plan. Many places now must dial 1 before making a long-distance or 10-digit local call, and more soon will. In the 1990s, dialing of some calls will change. The reason? We're running out of area codes, and we must construct phone numbers differently in many places in the future. Yes, we're running out of area codes. It's not a crisis that you'll see on NBC Nightly News every night, but it is something that is a problem. A few years ago, they had to split 212 area code into 718, and that caused a great deal of inconvenience and complaints. People had to change their stationery, they had to change their phone numbers, their dialing pattern. Suddenly they had to dial 11 numbers instead of 7, and it's going to happen more. It just happened in Colorado, it's happening in Boston, and eventually there won't be any more area codes left. So what are we going to do? What's going to happen? Are we going to have 8-digit phone numbers instead of 7-digit phone numbers? Well, let's look at this chapter here and see what Dr. Robert Self has to say about this. First of all, regarding your phone number is different from all other phone numbers in North America. It has to be. The people responsible for making sure we all have phone numbers, unique phone numbers, are at Bellcore, which is Bell Communications Research in New Jersey. Before the breakup, this function resided with AT&T. But now they face a problem. They're running out of area codes. Well, most of North America, as we said, is covered by the unified 10-digit numbering plan we all know, called the North American Numbering Plan. And participants are Canada, the United States, including Alaska and Hawaii, Bermuda, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, and some other Caribbean islands. Now, you can call Mexico City and northern Mexico from the United States and Canada using special 10-digit numbers, even though Mexico is not a participant in the North American numbering plan. So there's actually two ways to call Mexico, either directly using an area code or internationally using the overseas operator or a country code. Our phone numbers are composed of 10 digits. The first digits are known as the area code or the NPA code. NPA is numbering plan, I guess. They don't say what that stands for. NPA. And the next three digits are your local numbering plan area code. Okay, they do say. Next three digits, your local exchange code, or your exchange, as some people might say. Your last four digits, your station number, the number of your phone line within your exchange. Officially, the three-digit area code is called the NPA code for numbering plan area code. Area code is common talk for NPA code. Of course, the last seven digits are your local phone number. Area codes do not cross state boundaries. Exchange codes may not follow any political boundaries. They are located by the phone companies, the local phone companies, where engineering principles, economics, and regulatory approval dictate. And that's why sometimes you'll see overlapping. For instance, Stony Brook might come out as Stony Brook on the phone bill, but if you call Setauket, that will also come out as Stony Brook on the phone bill. And you may have a Stony Brook number even though your mailing address is in Port Jefferson. Things like that happen all the time. Local Access and Transport Area, which is LATA or LATA, boundaries are located where Judge Green and the Justice Department places them. Of course, there can be multiple area codes and LADAs. I never know how to pronounce that. It's not a word, so I don't know what the correct pronunciation is. There can be multiple area codes and LADAs in a state, but there is, in general, little relationship between area codes and LADAs. Now, how do we build a phone number? Area codes all look alike, and for most of us, they look different than our three-digit exchange codes. That's on purpose. They all have either a 1 or a 0 in the middle of them. The first number can be any digit except 1 or 0, any digit from 2 to 9. The second number has to be either a 0 or a 1. And the last digit can be any number at all. So currently area codes are made that way. They can be 201, 504, 913. Now how many area codes can be made this way? Well, there's 8 ways to pick the first digit, 2 ways to pick the middle digit, 10 ways to pick the last digit. So mathematically this means there are 8 times 2 times 10, which is 160 possible area codes. But some combinations of possible area codes are not available, such as 211, 311, 411, 911. They're reserved for directory assistance, repair service, police. And that only leaves 152 viable area codes. And of these, one other group is reserved for getting you connected to special services. These are codes of the form N00, such as 200, 300, 400, etc., all the way up to 900. And of the 8 possible N00 codes, only 700, 800, and 900 are now in use. In fact, you may have seen quite a bit of advertising on those new 900 conference numbers, which are really getting out of hand. Only 99 cents per minute, but we'll get into that later. With these 8 N00 codes held back, there are only 144 area codes left for regular geographical code duty. So as of this writing, 133 total area codes are currently in use, 133 of 144, with 4 additional codes reserved for code splits already planned for 1988 and 1999. I think they mean 1989. So, this new numbering system will not be disruptive to us customers. The new numbering system that will be put into place to fix the mess that's going to be caused here. And in case your curiosity has the best of you, the 1988 and 1989 code splits are the 305 area code, Miami area. 305 will be split into 305 and 407 on April 16th, 1988. Miami will remain 305. The northeast area of 305 aboard the above the Broward-Palm Beach county line will become 407. 303 Denver area will be split. 303 will split into 303 and 719. That's already happened, March 5th, 1988. Denver, Boulder, Grand Junction will keep 303. Colorado Springs, Pueblo, and other southern areas will get 719. Now, 617 is the Boston area. 617 will split into 617 and 508. That'll be on July 16th, 1988. Boston and its suburbs will stay 617. Other areas will become 508. And finally, 312, the Chicago area. 312 will spin off 708 on November 11th, 1989. The city of Chicago will keep 312, which is a very nice area code to have, nice and easy to dial. And the balance of 312 will convert to 708, which is about as difficult and long. I mean, if you have a touchtone phone, it doesn't make a difference, but if you're dialing, it takes forever. 708. Anyway, Belcor and the local telcos, which is short for telephone company, always try to change area codes in a way that will generate minimal inconvenience to customers, believe it or not. Typically, that means the heart of the area code, the big city, gets to keep the old area code, and the suburbs get the new code. This irritates people living in the suburbs that get their code changed. They get inferiority complexes. For example, people in Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, the suburbs of Manhattan, got zapped with the new 718 code a few years back, when there was only one New York City code, everyone had 212. They were all equal, whether they lived in a Brooklyn Beach shack or in a Fifth Avenue penthouse. But now, there are two classes of people, real New Yorkers, 212 people, and the other class, 718 people. Good thing New Yorkers are not snooty. It's ironic that the Bronx, parts of which are often considered the pits, got to keep 212. So, What is going to happen? Well, your phone number in 1995 could very well look like this. How do I explain this on the air? Okay, today we have an exchange code, an area code, where the first number can be any number from 2 to 9, the second number has to be a 0 or a 1, and the third number can be any number at all. By 1995, area codes will have the second digit also be any number at all. So your area code could be, well, let's see, it could be 2234, could be your area code. So that opens up a whole lot of others. Changes it from 152 to 792 possibilities. And that's how they're going to fix that problem. And there's many other changes, too, many other technological things going on. An article here from the New York Times, March 17, 1988. The day is coming closer when a home telephone line can be an electronic pipeline to a wide variety of information services. By punching numbers on a telephone pad, you'll be able to select programs to watch on cable television, leave messages for callers when you are not home, and if you have a computer, tap into many databases by dialing one number. That's right, the seven regional Bell telephone companies, 9X included, went to work quickly to move their plans off the drawing boards after a federal judge said recently that they could offer these services to customers. Now, one of those services is known as voicemail, something like an answering machine, something we're about to demonstrate here. It's expected to have the most widespread consumer appeal. It will be one of the first services on the commercial market in most areas. It will provide a voicemail box where callers can leave messages when the user's line is busy or is not answered. The user can then retrieve the messages. Now, customers won't have to buy any hardware like an answering machine. They just punch instructions to the telephone company on their telephone pad. Now, while many businesses already have this service in their internal phone systems, but such systems are much too costly for most households and small businesses. So, what is voicemail? We have voicemail right here at the radio station, and what we do is we pick up the phone, get a dial tone, it says. It's a strange dial tone. It's not the usual kind. It's an internal dial tone. You dial a 9, you get an outside line. Well, if you don't dial quickly enough, you get a siren. Let's try that again. Dial a 9, outside line. But we're going to stay inside the system here and call up our voicemail box, which will allow us to leave a message just like any other answering machine, except it's not an answering machine. This is a computer, and we are talking digitally, and our voice is getting stored onto some disk somewhere. But there is no tape, no answering machine, nothing like that. So let's call up the number.
Hello, thanks for calling the WUSB bumper sticker and program guide request line.
Doesn't even ring.
In order to receive either of the above, please leave us a message with your name and your address, and we'll get one to you via first-class mail as soon as we can. Thanks again for calling, and thanks for listening to Long Island's first station of the 90s, 90.1 FM, WUSB.
Now, you see, it beeps just like an answering machine, too, so you can talk into it. In fact, we're talking right now. We're leaving a message right now. And you can go in there and get the mail and listen as many times as you want. Now, I'm going to hang up, and then we will call back and retrieve our messages. I've hung up the phone, and now I will call a special number that allows you to go inside your mailbox.
Hello, this is the phone mail system. If you are calling from your own extension, push enter or pound. If not, you may either enter your extension or your name. To enter an extension, dial the extension, and then push enter or pound. To enter your name, dial your last name followed by first name until recognized.
Now, there's no need to panic. That sounds kind of confusing, I realize. But we're going to enter our special account code here.
You dialed the name of extension 26498. If this is correct, dial your password and then push enter or pound. If not, push stop or star.
Now, fortunately on this system, all of the keys that I hit have the same tone, so you can't tell what the password I am entering here, but all users will have a certain kind of a password, and that's how you'll distinguish yourself from all other people that might want to listen to your
messages.
When
you have finished dialing, push enter or pound.
The pound key, by the way, is the one on the lower right hand of your keyboard. Here we go.
To listen, push 3. Record, push 1. Change personal options, push 8. Transfer out of phone mail, push 7, then 0.
Now, we're going to want to listen to our messages.
You have one new message. Message 1 from extension 50597 was received at 11:20 p.m. today.
Now you see, it beeps just like an answering machine, too, so you can talk into it. In fact, we're talking right now. We're leaving a message right now. And you can go in there and get the mail and listen as many times as you want. Now, I'm going to hang up, and then we will call back and retrieve our messages.
To delete, push 6. Save, push 4. Replay, push 7, then 3.
Well, let's say we delete this message. There's no need for it.
To continue, push pound. Forward, push 9. Call the sender at extension 50597, push 7, then 0.
Well, there's no need to call. There's no need to forward this message. We might as well continue.
You have two old messages. Your oldest message is 3 days old. To listen, push 3. Continue, push pound.
Now, there's no need for us to go into detail because those are personal, private messages. They have no business
to
being...
To listen, push 3.
Excuse
Continue,
me.
Push pound. If you need help, push help or 0.
Well, let's get some help first.
You have asked to listen to your messages. You may now listen to your old messages or continue. Old messages are those which you have saved in earlier phone mail calls. To listen, push 3. Continue, push pound.
Now, as I was saying, there's no need to panic here. It sounds complicated, but you really
catch
on. To
listen, push 3. Continue, push pound. If you need help, push help or 0.
The only problem is that this lady is rather pushy. She does tend to interrupt you.
To listen, push 3. Continue, push pound. If you need help, push help.
I don't.
Or 0. If you do not push a key in 5 seconds, you will return to home state.
Is that a threat? Now, home state, by the way, is the main command level.
To listen, push 3. Record, push 1. Change personal options, push 8. Transfer out of phone mail, push 7, then 0.
And that's where we are now. At the main command level, we can do anything from here. We can not
to
only...
To listen, push 3. Record, push 1. Change personal options, push 8. Transfer out of phone mail, push 7, then 0. If you need help, push help or 0.
We can not only listen to messages, we can record messages, change our options, such as passwords.
To listen, push 3.
That kind of thing.
Record, push 1. Change personal options, push 8. Transfer out of phone mail, push 7, then 0. If you need help, push help or 0. If you do not push a key in 5 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Well, that sounds just fine to me. And let's watch the little light on the phone here and see if it goes out. She hasn't carried out the threat yet. Oh, there it goes. It's out. Okay. Well, that's what happens. That's how electronic mail, or voicemail, actually pretty much works. Note the sound quality of my voice came out just fine. It's digital. There's no tape involved. And you too can become a part of this. That was what I was talking to Susan about earlier. If you want a bumper sticker or a program guide or something, you can call up our bumper sticker and program guide hotline, which is actually a voicemail service. And hear it for yourself and leave a message that we will later get. And the number for that is 632-6498. So feel free to do that and become a part of the 21st century? 20th century? Where are we? Whatever we're at, become a part of it. Our phone number to talk to humans is 632-6901. And I'd like to hear from people, see what kind of comments they might have on things like that. So let's go to the phones. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Oh, this is my name's Mike. How you doing?
Okay.
What's this I hear is that we're gonna have a new area code or something?
Well, there's no specific plan for us to have a new area code, but in the future we're going to be running out of area codes and they're going to have to change the whole way that they're made up. In other words, there won't necessarily be a 0 or a 1 as the middle digit of an area code.
That's gonna be confusing.
It's going to be very... Can you turn down your radio a little bit, please?
Sure.
Okay, because we're getting feedback there. It's going to be a little bit confusing to a lot of people, and things are confusing now already. So it all depends on how it's done. If it's done slowly And if explanations are provided, I think we'll survive. But right now, I have doubts about where this whole thing is going.
I think so, too. I mean, whoever deals with this kind of problem, they're going to wind up in bad situation, you know?
Uh-huh. Do you have trouble making phone calls today, or do you have trouble figuring out the whole mess?
No, I haven't had any troubles yet.
Are you in equal access land?
What do you mean by that?
Do you get to choose your long-distance company?
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes. So have you gotten a form from your phone company saying what long-distance company do you want to be your primary carrier?
Well, I had that before somebody called about it.
Uh-huh.
10% off free call or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, my parents went home, so I couldn't accept it.
So who did you pick?
Hold on.
Okay. It's 11:31 on
Saturday.
All right, I'll
get back to you soon, okay?
Okay. And the number is 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Eric.
Yes?
How you doing?
Okay.
Well, this whole 900 number deal is getting out of hand.
It certainly is.
Well, not to mention the old portals. They got all these new horror ones on.
Well, the thing is, what they have... There are several things that are going on right now. The new 900 numbers are being run by AT&T. Well, they're not
necessarily...
Well, another company is getting the money. It's not AT&T that is actually running the numbers, but they're providing the way of getting to those numbers. They're nationwide numbers, these 900, 999 numbers.
Yeah.
There's going to be a new one introduced in the next couple of weeks, 909, 900-909-XXXX. They're immensely expensive, 99 cents a minute. That's a lot of money.
Well,
you talk for 10 minutes, it's $10.
You know, so you see the ones like all this baloney, like creep and fear. It's like only $2 a call.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like too much. How can they charge that much for something like that? You know?
Well, they make money hand over fist with those kind of calls. They're also going to be interactive things.
Well, they know that there's like the small kids are going to call them.
Yeah. Well, within I'd say a couple of weeks, we're going to be seeing some major complaints coming from parents all over the country, because that's when the phone bills are going to start arriving for these phone calls that people have been making. There are so many of them being advertised. There's that 700 number with the seven sevens in it. That,
oh, yeah, the lady's like, only a dollar a minute.
Yeah, that's something else. Now there are going to be a whole lot of local things, because 976 Exchange has been upgraded.
That lady's really annoying, too.
Oh, the phone mail lady?
Yeah.
Yeah, she is very annoying. She gets on my case all the time.
It's a mess.
But what we're going to see is we're going to see a lot more dial-up service numbers. We're going to see the 976 Exchange, which will be pretty much the standard weather, time, sports phone, that kind of thing. 970 and 540 will be interactive services, and the porno services will all be moved over there, too. And those will be the expensive calls, calls that can cost as much as $30 for one call at one time. They have special deals where, you know, you can pay amazing amounts of money. And then there'll be the 550 conference numbers that are local, too, and they're pretty expensive as well. So we're going to see an explosion of these services.
Well, I have a computer, and I use that. When I use that, hold on, there's like so much information you can get, like through bulletin board systems, and not just that, like copy.
Actually, all the different data services that are available. A lot of people don't know what they can do simply by hooking a computer into a phone. They can communicate with people in other parts of the world.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, but what's happening now is we're seeing a lot of changes, and the problem is it's not being explained very well to people, and everyone is confused. They don't know why their phone bills are going up or going down or how to call things anymore. This phone system here on campus has pretty much baffled everybody as to how to use it.
Even without a computer, just in a regular phone, it's like a just a ticket to the world. You can do anything with a phone.
Oh, sure. Yeah, the phone is it's a very basic piece of equipment. Everybody has one. Not everyone has a computer, but everyone has a phone, and everyone has access to the rest of the world. I mean, we can just call up and go anyplace. Of course, you have to pay for that, but the fact that you can do it is really amazing.
All right, so I guess I'll see you.
Okay, thanks for calling. Our number is 632 6901. If you have any comments on the communications revolution, and as long as we were talking to the phone mail lady, I've got one of those ladies in my house. We're going to call her up too.
Hello, we're terribly sorry, but nobody's in at the moment.
That's
me. Please leave a message and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you.
Now, this is not a voice mail system. This is simply an answering machine, but it's an answering machine that can do all kinds of things. And what I'm doing now is leaving a message, like most answering machines allow you to do. And now I'm going to be quiet for a moment, and we'll see what happens.
Your message was recorded. Thank you for calling.
Boy, isn't that amazing? But that's not all that that lady can do. We can listen to my house. We can retrieve messages. We can skip messages. We can erase messages, and almost the same things that the electronic voicemail systems of the future can do. We can do with simple answering machines as well. So all of these pieces of equipment and services are about to be offered to us. So it's rather important that we know what they are. A related service is called voice messaging, which will let callers dial a number and reach any of dozens of recorded messages. A message would tell the caller to punch one key to hear the weather report, for example, another key for a stock market report, and another for sports scores. So these would both compete with answering machines and could shut down many small live telephone answering services. We see these small businesses losing 10 to 15% of their customers, and that could put them out of business, said a spokesperson. And the Bell companies also plan trials of services to make it easier for computer users to send information to other computers and to dial into information databases. And in case you're wondering how people do these things on the telephone, they call up a special number and a computer answers, and your computer is on your phone line. It hears the computer answering and it sends data back to that computer. In fact, if we were to call a computer, this is what it would sound like. If I can get a dial tone here. Here we go. This is what a computer sounds like when it answers. Now, if I was a computer, I would answer with a similar kind of a tone, and then the conversation would get underway. And what you would see on your screen would be data flashing around, and all kinds of amazing things would happen then. Let's just hang up on that. So that's one thing that we'll be seeing more of in the future. And let's see if there's anything else in this article here. Companies also will be allowed to let cable television subscribers use the touchpad to tell the cable operator what channel they want to watch. Subscribers could choose from several channels and pay for what they watch instead of subscribing to all programs on all channels. In fact, I'm sure someone's going to come up with the idea that we can vote using touch-tone phones.
Hi. 368, it's the party line.
368 is the party line called us?
Yeah, pick it up.
Okay. What do we have here?
What? Hello?
Yes.
Hi, this is the party line.
Hi, this is the party line calling brain damage.
The party line is calling brain damage.
Here's himself.
How many people are here?
I'm Robert.
I'm Pete.
I'm David.
I'm Chris.
And I think I'm Angelie, but I'm not sure. Can I check?
It's the party line.
Oh, my goodness. Now, are we still there?
Did he hang up on us?
Okay, what I would like everyone to do, okay, is when I count down, all of you say hello at the same time.
Wait.
Okay? I'm going to count down from three.
Can we hear something?
Yes, we're on the air.
Yeah. Hello, is this the party line?
We're on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air.
You're being listened to by millions of people. Now, it's very important.
This is really funny. I'm really embarrassed. I don't like being on the air.
Well, you should be embarrassed. But listen, this is what... It's a simple task. I'm sure we're all capable of doing it. I'm going to count down, and just to demonstrate how many people can be on the phone at once.
Cool.
We're all going to say hello at the same time. Not me, though. We're all going to say hello on the phone. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
Hola.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, that's what the future holds, folks.
Wait, are we on USB right now?
You certainly are.
Holy shit.
Not anymore. Okay, 632-6901. Pete Kang takes full responsibility for that one. 20 minutes to 12 o'clock, 6 degrees outside, and we're talking about telephones, services, new things. Now, Teen Line. Teen Line is a party telephone line that is supposed to provide supervised conversation for groups of up to 8 teenagers at a time, but it is stirring anger and an attempt to shut it down by Long Island parents and educators who complain that teens are left free to curse, use sexual profanities, and racial epithets. And the service hasn't been especially easy on parents' pocketbooks, parents say. At 20 cents for the first minute and 10 cents for each additional minute, that's cheap compared to the ones they're advertising on TV now. $1 a minute they charge for those things. Well, it doesn't take long before the bills start to add up. The parents and educators took their concerns to a New York telephone company representative during a parent-teachers meeting. The parents traded stories about how their children racked up tolls as high as $120 a month, according to Judy Carlson, a teacher at Mineola High School. During the meeting, New York telephone representatives introduced a proposal that would enable customers in the 516, 212, 718, and 914 area codes for a $5 fee to prevent calls to certain exchanges to be made from their telephones. The service-oriented exchanges would include 550 exchange lines, which are used for party line-type services. Under the proposal, people who called 550 would dial the three digits and get a recording telling them the number will not work. Now, Teen Line, which is run by a Nassau-based firm, allows up to 100 teens in groups of 8 to call in for conversation 24 hours a day. Unfortunately, we're not allowed to call teen phone. The whole system here just blacks it out. If I try dialing 550-TEEN, that's what I get. So we can't demonstrate that to you, but it sounds pretty much like what you just heard, believe me. A recorded message greets callers, warning them against using profanity, vulgarity, or exchanging personal information, such as home telephone numbers or addresses. Callers are also told that their conversations are being monitored. According to Lyle Schenk, regional manager for Omnicom, which runs the group call service, it is the monitor's job to end any conversation that turns sour or that leaks personal information. But they complain that the telephone line often is not supervised. Parents, that is, complain of that. They obviously cannot monitor this 100%. Yesterday, this was actually a few months ago, in two separate incidents, callers referred to each other by using derogatory names and foul language without a monitor putting a stop to it. At 10:40 a.m., a male voice entered the phone line calling himself Pitbull. He began speaking to another woman on the line who called herself Colleen. Two male voices began trading insults and then racial epithets. And at that, several other callers began talking at once. Nearly a minute and a half's worth of racial insults were exchanged. "It's hard," said Schenk. "We have good monitors, but we just don't have enough." Schenk would not say how monitors are chosen, how many the firm employs, or where the company was located. So that's pretty much what's going on as far as all of these new services. Our phone number, 632-6901. We're talking about high tech for at least the next 15 minutes. And give us your ideas, your opinions, your comments. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi. I've been listening to what's going on about the group calling lines and things.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking to a friend of mine now to give you an idea on how quick it can rack up. Like you said before, $150 a month in charges on the teen line.
Yeah.
I heard a story about a woman who supposedly her two daughters, aged 14 and 15, were on the line every night while she was working late for hours. And she received a phone bill of close to $1,500.
That's really not all that much, considering these new services cost $1 a minute. No matter what time of day or night, there's no discount for late-night calls. If you talk, now, have you ever had a phone conversation where you're on the phone for 45 minutes? I mean,
no problem.
It's a common thing. Most phone calls do not take only a minute. Well, most phone calls, I guess, do, but most real phone calls where you talk to people take a long time, 20 minutes, 45 minutes. So each minute is $1 for these new services, $45 for one call.
This picture getting, what would you do if you got a phone bill for $1,500?
Well, it would be quite a sight. I'd probably want to save it and take a good look at it and itemize every last call on there.
Also, those group calling things, they're addictive.
Yeah, well,
all them after a period of time. I mean, I called those things for a while until I got my first bill. And said, you know, I go look at this bill of like $700 phone bill. I'm like, well, forget this. but it's addictive, and you don't realize how quickly it's adding up.
Well, you see, it's very deceptive. They say only 99 cents a minute. You only hear the 99 cents part. You don't hear the minute part. You don't do the calculation. If it was fair, what they would say would be $10 every 10 minutes or $60 an
or
hour.
The 550 exchange, if you figure it out, for 1 hour, if you're on that line for an hour,
yeah,
it comes to $6.10. Now, just multiply that by calling for 1 hour every night for a month.
Uh-huh.
It comes to roughly, you know, well, at $6 an hour, it would come to $180. And if people get on that and they just stay on.
Yeah.
I mean, I would call that line, say, because I couldn't sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. Then I'd stay on for a half hour. I'd go to sleep. I'd wake up again at 5. I'd call back, and some of the same people would still be on.
Oh, my goodness.
And you're like, figure that's 3 hours? At $6 an hour, that's 18 there.
Yeah, but that's nothing. Compare it to the new ones. $60 an hour. That's $180 for that phone call. Now, something's got to give here, and believe me, you are going to see one heck of a commotion when those phone bills start arriving, which should be, how long have those 900 numbers been advertised for?
Not all that long, either.
So it'll be about another maybe 20 days or so, but those phone bills are going to come in, and they're going to be amazing.
Yeah, when they do, when it finally does hit the fan with all of that, I think we're going to have a lot of them that'll just be shut off.
Yeah, well, they'll start losing money after people realize these might just be fly-by-night operations that only are in business for about a month or two until people catch on. I'm surprised though people haven't caught on already.
Well, I part of the reason why I stopped calling was, and one thing nobody's really too sure of on those, is a lot of them are not monitored,
uh-huh.
And people exchange addresses and phone numbers. And I made the mistake one night of giving my phone number to a girl on that line.
Uh-huh.
And the next day, my phone was ringing off the hook.
Oh, boy.
With calls from some of the strangest people that you could possibly imagine, none of whom I talked to.
They got passed around.
Yeah, and you're never quite sure who's on that line. Matter of fact, I was on one line that was monitored.
By the way, are you on a cordless phone by chance?
I'll switch back.
Well, no, it's just interesting that you're on a cordless phone and you're talking about things being broadcast all over. All cordless phone and cellular phone conversations can be received by people miles away from you.
Well, I just got off the cordless.
But that's something to consider. I can turn on a shortwave radio or a police scanner and pick up people in my neighborhood talking. I've heard 3 drug deals and cellular phones. You can pick those up on your TV set.
I've never had that happen.
Yeah, if you go up to channel 83 and sort of fine-tune around there, you can pick up cellular phone calls.
Well, I don't have a cellular phone or anything, but...
Mind you, it's illegal to listen, but how in the world do they enforce that?
Well, I've seen, you know, I'm talking about picking up other signals. I have somebody in my area who's a ham radio operator.
Uh-huh.
Now, periodically, I'll pick them up on channel 5.
Uh-huh.
Clear as could be. I only hear half the conversation, but I can be sure that they're there. And they, at one point, they were putting out with such an output that just about anything electrical with a speaker to it,
uh-huh,
would pick up whatever they sent over the radio.
Well, they're probably operating at much too high a power.
And, the FCC, and we're told, buy a filter. And one of my neighbors has an electric organ that was picking it up. Now, I don't know where you go to buy a filter for an electric organ.
Oh, you had to buy the filter?
Yes.
That seems strange. Usually the onus is on the person creating the noise.
That's what didn't make any sense to me. But as far as the telephone company, how many different services are there now?
There's an
as far as group calling goes.
An uncountable number. There's the 900 services, the local 550 and 540 numbers that are starting to become... You're going to see a lot more of those in the next couple of weeks. There's the 700 numbers, which I don't think they're going to last much longer because they're the most expensive of all. And only people in equal access areas can call those.
Oh, I know quite a few people who've actually ended up having to have their phone service terminated because they couldn't afford to pay the massive bills,
uh-huh,
that were generated by that. And really, you're never sure, you know, you can't, there's no way in the world I could caution anybody enough to be careful not to, on a non-monitored line, to never give your number to anybody.
Oh, yeah. That's
Well, there's one in particular that if you want to give your number to somebody, the monitor will isolate you.
Uh-huh.
Take down your phone number, then isolate the other person and give it to them. But I made that one mistake one night. I gave my phone number, and the next day, phone, you know, just kept ringing, and finally it got to the point where I just threw in an answering machine, threw the answering machine on, and left it on. Because anyone that would call as far as a crank on that wouldn't leave a message on the machine.
Uh-huh.
And I avoided it that way. But I live, you know, it was to the point, if it had gone on a second day the way it was going, I was thinking about getting my number changed.
Uh-huh.
Because,
well, oftentimes they lose interest very quickly and things like that. We do have a load of calls here. We're going to go to some others, but thanks very much for calling.
Okay. I'll see you next time.
Okay. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi. Since you're talking about phones, I wanted to ask you about something that's going on right here on campus. I live in dorms. I heard from someone recently that starting in the fall, all the dorm rooms are going to have roam phones in them.
Yes.
They're going to be put on the regular campus phone system. And that people will either have to pay $12 a month whether they want the phone or not, or else not live in the dorms. Have you heard anything like that?
Well, what is going to happen is it will be the third and final phase in the cutover of the Stony Brook campus to the new phone system. Mm-hmm. The first phase was the main campus. The second phase was the hospital and the health science center. The third phase will be the students. And I'm afraid what you say is, at this moment, appears to be true. Students will be forced to buy phones because regular phones don't work on this system. This is a digital system. It's not an analog system.
Right.
So it's completely different from all the other phones.
Yeah.
You won't be able to use answering machines unless you buy an expensive conversion machine, digital to analog conversion. Now, mind you, this is the way it's been presented to me. I don't know for sure if that's the way it's actually going to come out.
Yeah.
But it seems like that's what's going to happen. And you'll be subjected to a lot more of the inconveniences of this kind of a phone system, such as downtime. Now, I don't know if any of you who have phones are used to phones going down, like a computer system goes down. But around here at Stony Brook now, that's what happens a lot. The phones go down for maintenance. Now, you know, what are you supposed to do if your house is burning down while your phone is down for maintenance? It's a real step backwards.
Sure it is. No. I mean, what happens if someone needs an ambulance in the dorms or whatever? But I mean, even more than that, I've only been on campus since January, but somehow this whole plan hasn't been publicized too well. This is the first I heard of it a couple of days ago.
Well, from what I understand, there's going to be some kind of an announcement in the next week for what's going to happen on campus. But if it's anything like what's happened on campus already, it's going to be a disaster. and
I mean, it's
especially
it's,
with students.
It may be a disaster from the point of view of using the phone system. Not only that, I mean, you know, here's the university again coercing the students into using some service, whether they want it or not, whether it's good or not.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically another ripoff.
Well,
and
a telephone.
I have a feeling that it's been, you know, very few people know about it. I mean, you know, something like this, you would have heard about it before.
A telephone is a very personal thing. It's not something that you really don't care about. The phone is always there. You always use the phone. So the students certainly should have been consulted. The secretary should have had much more of a say, since they use the phone much more than say, the communications office or the administrators that decided to go with this. So, yes, obviously, not enough say was put into this. Not enough input was received.
Yeah.
And we're going to see the results of it. One of the things that really bothers me about this system is it's in what you call a DID exchange, direct inward dial. The 632 exchange that we have here is not a real exchange. Rather, it gets routed through Port Jefferson, and it actually takes longer to call the 632 exchange than it does to call the 246 exchange, because it has to go through Port Jefferson and then come out here. But what that boils down to is we cannot have direct access to an operator, because the operator has no way of verifying your number.
Sure.
So what that means is you have to bill all your operator-assisted calls to another number, and you can't bill them back to a 632 number because, once again, the operator has no way of verifying your number. Now, what is this going to mean to students that need to call weird countries?
Sure.
all over the place.
Sure, you have such a huge foreign student population here, and they need a functioning phone system.
They won't be able to call. Yep. Under the existing system, unless they make some kind of dramatic change, they won't be able to make those calls or even bill them.
Yeah.
So,
no, I don't know. I just wanted to know whether you had heard about this. I mean, I think this is one more thing that students need to start making noise about because, you know, from a practical standpoint, it isn't an improvement over the current phone system, and from an economic standpoint, it's the same old thing. The university thinks that it has complete control over us and our wallets, and so they're jerking us around again.
Yeah, well, it's well-intentioned, you know, and a lot of good things do come out of it.
We're able to transfer
calls ourselves and put people on hold and neat little things like that, but most of it is incomprehensible to the average person who just wants to make a phone call without having to worry about all this jargon.
Yeah.
And it's a case, I believe, of engineers having the final say and not really thinking of the human aspects of it. And
yep.
that's where we really start to run into problems.
Yep.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
632-6901. We're just about out of time, but boy, there's a lot to talk about here. We could devote a whole show to this. In fact, we did devote a whole show to this, pretty much, except for that first part where everybody called and talked about other things. I'd like to devote another show to this and to technology in general, but next week we have our train program. Yes, Mike Uhas and Jim Wiener and myself will be talking about trains. Oh, all kinds of trains. The Long Island, Amtrak, B&O, subways, all kinds of things like that. And it's just amazing, many things that are there. The enthusiastic reaction people have. We were talking about trains a couple of weeks ago. The phones just lit up like a whatever things light up.
Christmas tree.
Yeah, Christmas tree, right. Those things. Well, just about time for us to get out of here. Just about that time again. So, instead of playing the usual program outro, something a bit more appropriate, something that a few of you may want to employ as you get your new phone bills with huge expensive costs on them, there might be another dial-it service that you had not been aware of and that you'll be needing the number to. That's right. Dial a hitman.
Bugging me again.
See you next week.
Run to use the phone. Find and rent a hitman from the Twilight Zone. It was good in the beginning, but why become a trap? Found me a solution.
help you? May I help you?
Yes, is this the operator?
Yes.
Jimmy Lafayette 06, person to person with Mr. Carson King. That's King with a K.
Oh, I got it. Have a good evening and thank you. One moment.
Wrong number.
Carson King, please. One person calling.
Is this Mr. King? Is this Mr. Carson King?
Hey, who's this?
You dirty little shitty. I paid you 5 C's of my hard and cash. Now look what you did.
Who is this?
I paid you to bump off my wife, and then
look, you... Look, man, I gotta check the file.
Check the file.
Yeah, target address.
4275 South Brooklyn Avenue, apartment 42C.
4275. Okay, okay. I got it. All right, let's see what we have. Let's see. Target was attractive Caucasian woman, early 30s. Name, Martha Lee.
Yeah, but you got the wrong girl.
Wait a minute. Payment was made. Easy Pay credit plan with monthly installment.
Yeah. Never mind all that. Look.
And
we
have a completion report on the file. Target was hit 7:15 p.m. 4275 South Brooklyn. Apartment 42B.
Not B, you fool. This guy, next door, then the monkey jumped down and they shoved his wife out the window. How's that supposed to make me feel?
Look at that, it's just 42B on the report. It's not our fault.
It's not your fault. Well, I ain't paying, huh? So go ahead, sue me.
So you're not gonna pay, huh?
I'm not paying.
Okay, is it 42C?
42C, yeah, that's it. You got it.
Yeah, well, we'll be calling.
Hey, wait a minute, operator. Hey, come on now, operator.
This is Robert Klein speaking to you from WUSB, Stony Brook, New York. Get me out of here.
On Wednesdays from 6:30 p.m. till 7 p.m. on WUSB 90.1 FM, you can hear Poetry Brook International, a series of interviews and readings with poets from different countries who are now residing locally. We'll be listening to poets from all over the world, from Cuba, England, Germany, Hungary, India, Greece, Italy, Peru, the Soviet Union, Spain. The poets will read their work in English and in their native tongues if they want to. The readings will be supplemented with a few questions from me, Stephen Fox. The show is being produced by Andreas Mirka, and there is inspiration and technical assistance from a divine source. Thank you.
Listen here, wolf child. I speak to you of the science of mythology. I speak of Maverick Deviation, the psychotronic love commandos. We shall be drunk on stars, we shall fear nothing. Demand the impossible. Dream your destiny. Defy the logic of alphabet. I claim the king of the world. Nothing is impossible.
It's that rock and roll high school vibe. You gotta love it. My God, the Ramones on 90.1. We gotta just get our ejector seats all correct here and ready to rock as Brother Bill enters wherever it is that he's going to enter.
Euphoria.
Thank you. Wow. You're live, Brother Bill.
I know that. I was answering your question.
Oh, okay. All right. It took a little while to get all of the things to turn on and get ready.
Get ready, get set, go.
Okay, the Ramones from the End of the Century LP, Brother Bill. A fine classic rock and roll at its most classic.
R&R HS.
Yes, indeed. End of the Century is the name of the LP, Rock and Roll High School, which rock and roll was pretty much of a... I mean, high school was pretty much of a rock and roll thing for myself.
I would have to say for me also, I was one of the very, very few people listening to the Specials when I was a senior.
A senior?
A senior.
Senior. Yeah, that was a rip. My God.
It's just you joking this to me.
No, I'm just... adjusting
you.
I'm watching Sue and Eric consume Chinese food.
Are they using chopsticks?
There is chopsticks in the bag. I also just saw a plastic fork.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say.
We will certainly update you. I wonder if the chopsticks would be plastic as well.
I don't know. But they're about to gavone, as they say in Italy. Lime spiders, Brother Bill. Oh, no, the Talking Heads before that from the More Songs About Buildings and Food. That was Thank You.
Thank you.
For sending me an angel.
It was good.
Lime Spiders before that, fine band from Australia. The Cave Comes Alive is the name of the album, Blood from a Stone. And we heard from the kick the festivities off, the Zodiac Mind Warp with the Love Reaction. That was Tattooed Beat Messiah.
A real attention getter.
Yeah, Prime Mover is the name of the track. And it's 12:18 in the morning. It's 6 degrees outside, Brother Bill, on the Celsius scale.
Really?
Which is a very kind of brisk 43. It's ping weather, if you will. And
okay.
We're going to have a great time. Well, I hope we're going to have a great time.
A great time will indeed be attempted.
Yes, indeed. Brother Bill, this is heavy. The Creative Consciousness Center, located on Main Street in East Setauket, will offer several events during the month of April. On April 24th, Robert Corbett will continue his Sunday dinner series with a vegetarian Indian dinner at 4:30 p.m.
Wow.
For information about these and other events, and by God, don't you think you'd want to go to these other events, or to even register for the dinner, please call the Creative Consciousness Center at area code 516-751-6906.
I've made reservations, but I've never registered for a dinner.
Really? I've never registered for a dinner myself.
If you register for a dinner, do you wait for a notice in the mail to say that you were indeed selected for the dinner?
I'd probably be 4F. I don't know.
I don't know either. I couldn't honestly say.
But really, weather forecast for tonight is clear, breezy, high 55 to 60. The outlook for tomorrow will be partly sunny and breezy, high 55 to 60.